are like, okay, yeah. All right, this is brand new. Here we go.
All right, y'all listen. Come on and clap now.
Clap
if you love them.
If you love them.
Come on, clap. Everybody clap their hands like this. Come on and sing, say,
sing.
If you love
them. If you love them. Oh, oh, oh.
Come on and dance now.
Dance.
If you love
them. If you love
them. Let me see you move your feet, yeah. Cause all the glory.
All the glory. It all belongs to you.
Oh,
Hallelujah. This is another new song for you. This is called Hero. And any parts that you can catch, you know, I want you to sing with us, all right? Hallelujah. This song is about how he truly is our hero.
Your power and work within. valley, no curse will prevail. You get to make. Come on, say you've got the love. Come on, say yeah. Someone who relentlessly pursues you, even when you ignore him, even when you don't have time for him, he is always right there knocking on your door. He's ready to save, ready to heal, ready to deliver you. We thank God for our hero. We thank God for salvation. We thank God for the rescue that he came to do for all of us, for all of you. He will leave the 99 just to go get that one. He will leave everyone just to go get you. He chases you down. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he cares for you. So don't think that the tears that you cry at night when you're alone in private, that he doesn't see you, that he doesn't hear you. And even for some of you who won't even utter it out of your mouth and tell him your concerns, he knows your thoughts from afar. He knows your thoughts before you even perceive them. That's how loving and caring and intuitive and involved in your life that he is. He is our hero. Oh my God. I feel chills. He's our hero. He's our hero. Come to rescue you. Amen. We love you. We love you. We love you.
What's up, what's up, what's up? How are you guys? Oh, I see one. You guys still asleep from daylight savings? Yes, okay, I know I am. So my name is Hannah, and I'm here to give you guys the words of encouragement. And what I'm going to be talking about aligns with this month's theme, which is forgiveness. So first off, I want to share with you the meaning of forgiveness, which is releasing someone from an offense without seeking revenge. And so let me encourage you that Jesus has already equipped us with the ability to forgive other people. And one of the greatest examples is when Jesus forgave those who were crucifying him on the cross. Another example is from last week's message when Jesus forgave the sinful woman in Luke 7:36 through 50. And let me encourage you that Jesus forgives us. He forgives us from our offenses to other people and to ourselves. And another thing is that when we forgive others, God forgives us, as it says in Matthew 6:14-15, and it states, "For if you forgive others their offenses, your heavenly Father will forgive you as well. But if you don't forgive others, your Father will not forgive your offenses." Although the road to forgiveness is not easy, but remember that when we forgive others, God will forgive us. And this will not hinder our prayers, but he will answer them and hear our prayers. Thank you.
Ooh. What's up with y'all? Y'all like, you ain't Kelly. I know I ain't Kelly. I'm Mr. Ryan. How was y'all's week? On a scale of 1 to 10, what we talking about? 10? Get away from you. It's too much. We got any sixes over here? Sixes. On a scale of 1 to 10, how was y'all's week? Six? Tens? You had a 10 week? Hey, who was that that said they beat somebody in a meet, a track? Who was that? So who won? Was it you? I'll get you after service if you want to. We could do that. I could get you. I could get you. I got your back. Who is that? Is that you he beat? Yeah, I could get you.
No, it's me, bro. I lost.
It's okay, bro. It's good. We all take an L every once in a while, y'all. But hey, check this out. There is a special person in the building today. And this is a dear brother of mine, somebody that I met last year, somebody who I've actually grown to love as a brother. And his name is Mr. Isaac, okay? And today is Mr. Isaac's birthday, so I need you guys to give a round of applause. Mr. Isaac. Mr. Isaac, come on up here. Come on up, Mr. Isaac. Come on, come on.
I was chasing my glory, this fella sneak.
Next to your staff, y'all come on up. Sing it. Mr. Isaac with love. Let's go.
Y'all see this? Discussion.
But as soon as they see the light rushing, they know that the Lord walking with us.
Hey.
People say that I'm
now this is like, what okay. I call you walk in the light a sanctified soldier boy. Y'all can't tell me he don't look like soldier boy. Look at this. This is soldier boy's cousin, long lost cousin. Lecrae? They say you look like Lecrae? Y'all think he look like Lecrae or soldier boy? Or soldier? Lecrae? Soldier? Get my licks in. Hey, Mr. Isaac, he want me to hit you. We ain't gonna do that.
All right.
Hey, man.
We have his beautiful wife to come and deliver him some gifts.
Everybody clap. Y'all clap for Mr. Isaac. Now, if y'all want to know what this is all about, Mr. Isaac, okay, we all have our addictions, okay? Mr. Isaac is addicted to cookies, okay? So we got him a big old cookie cake. Let's see what kind of flavor you got up in there, Mr. Isaac. What you got up in there? How old's your bag? Go ahead. Go. Take a little peek. See what you got. Ooh, what that mother say on there? Happy birthday, Isaac? Y'all want a piece?
No.
Y'all gotta ask him first, okay?
He
don't like to share. Yeah, but Courtney, would you like to say something?
Yes. So, Isaac, I just wanna say, of course I'm biased, but you are so gifted. And I love that you do not hoard your gift. I've never met somebody who is like so dedicated to knowing the Lord's word as much as you. I'm sorry. From this pregnancy.
Oh, golden.
As much as you, and you don't hoard that gift, you give it to everybody around you. Everyone who knows you is blessed because of it. Even the students in the audience who don't understand how blessed they are right now. And so I just thank God for you. And I can't wait to see what he does over this next year of your life. So happy birthday.
Oh. Now, I want on three. Everybody say all. One, two, three. Doggone it, man. Y'all say you want to get off stage. Hey, brother, you need this. Look at your bag, man. I got you some, too. Got you some bathing apes and all of that. But now, y'all, I just wanted to say happy birthday to Mr. Isaac. I want to tell you guys real quick before I get off the stage that right around the time that I gave my life to Christ, it got a little lonely for me. I didn't have a lot of people in my life that were Christians, and so I prayed that God would send me people who love Jesus. That's it. You know, I didn't know when he would send me these people. I was still in college. I was at Arizona State playing ball. And so I kind of felt alone. And on my journey, God answered my prayer. You know, he gave me a group of friends at Arizona State that I love to this day, who are some of my best friends. And then he also gave me Mr. Isaac. So, man, from myself, the Next Gen team, to you, bro, happy birthday, man. We love you. And I'm thankful for you, man. So appreciate you, dog.
Welcome to Next Gen Sunday Morning Worship.
Welcome.
This month, we're hearing from our very own Mr. Isaac and Mr. Ryan on the topic of forgiveness.
Who here needs to be forgiven or give forgiveness? This entire month of March, there will be several white bins with I Forgive You on them in the comments area.
As we journey through this month learning more about forgiveness, we want you all to be praying for someone you need to forgive and ask the Lord to help guide you through the process of forgiving them and forgiving the person that has wronged you.
We also want you to write their names on a card or a piece of paper and drop it in the white bins as you enter or exit the building as a way of showing that you're ready to forgive.
Remember that forgiving someone does not excuse what they did. It frees you from living under their control. It's time to be free, Next Gen.
Okay, let's get into the real in Next Gen. Who's ready for some fun competition? We're having our very own March Madness event on March 26th in Gym A and B. If you're interested in the 3-point shootout, 5-on-5, skills contest, or volleyball game, sign up today. Spots are limited.
Oh, and we can't forget to mention the concession stands, giveaways, young adults versus youth basketball game, and a special surprise for our Next Gen youth. Make sure you do not miss this.
Calling all 8th graders, March 25th, you are headed to Shenanigans for some fun. See Ms. Candace or Mr. Ryan for more details. Sign up today to reserve your spot.
We have a great opportunity to give back to the community. Our brothers and sisters at Youth World are hosting an Easter basket giveaway on April 8th at 8:30 a.m. and we get to be a part of that. Beginning in March, we are asking all of you to bring a bag of candy and plastic eggs. We will have a bucket outside of the youth room to drop off your items.
Next Gen Youth Leaders, on Saturday, March 18th at 10 a.m., we are serving those that are without in this season. We are asking that everyone brings an item or items from their list. The items are toilet paper, deodorant, toothbrushes, toothpaste, hand wipes, sanitizer, lotion, hand towels, and soap. Youth leaders will meet at the church and transportation will be provided. For more information, please see Mr. Isaac.
Next Gen has added a spiritual growth class for anyone who is interested in growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. This is for you. It's a 3-week class that begins in March. It's held on 1st through 3rd Sunday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. April registration is now open. If you would like to sign up, please go to the information desk outside of the youth room.
KAA.
You know.
Are y'all ready for summer camp? We're going back to where it all started. If you enjoy boat riding, treetops, swimming, meeting new people, and so much more, you do not want to miss this year at KAA. For more information, stop by the information desk located outside the youth room.
HEAT Scholarship registration for seniors is now open. Seniors, please pick up your application at the Next Gen Youth Information Desk.
All HEAT participants and those who are interested in becoming a part of HEAT, please plan to attend the meeting on Sunday, March 18th at 1 p.m. on the first floor youth room.
Real Men Discipleship had a great time at Clyde Warren Park, fellowshipping and getting fit for Christ. And guess where they're going next? Fishing. Real Men will be headed to Lakeside Park on April 1st, where they will learn how to fish and be fishermen for the kingdom of God. Please see Mr. Ryan for more details.
Ladies, Ladylike is headed to Rockwall on April 1st for Brunch and Learn, picnic style. Come dress in your favorite ladylike outfit and have some fun. Transportation is available.
Are you a stepper or enjoy mom and want to join the team? Please stop by the Next Gen Youth Desk to sign up for auditions. Well, that's the real in Next Gen. We hope you all enjoy service. Bye.
Bye.
All right, what's up? What's up, y'all? So y'all just heard a few of our announcements. We got a lot of stuff in store for y'all. This month is March Madness. So we got basketball, volleyball, a whole bunch of other stuff, track races. So, you know, want to get y'all get back. Anyways, he said, oh, it's on. Anyways, we got one last announcement. So for some of the ladies and for some of the fellas, if you saw the bathrooms before service, you know we're in a time of transition. We're trying to do some more fun things for y'all, transitioning from March over into the summer. You know, we got a lot of events for y'all. And one of the new things that we have is decorating the bathrooms. So for the girls, we have a whole bunch of verses and stuff written on the mirrors for y'all. We have like little toiletries and scrunchies and like nice things in the bathroom. Same thing for the fellas. We got, you know, like deodorant, hairpins, just different things like that. Listen, y'all, we trying to help y'all out. So we just wanted to first off say talk about that, but also talk about being good stewards of that. This is something that we want to keep going. So if we can be a good steward of that, maybe, you know, we have a little now, but maybe y'all can get more in the future. And I also wanted to pull up Luke 16, verse 10, which says, he who is faithful with very little things is also faithful with much. And he who is unrighteous with very little things is also unrighteous with much. So I just want to say that hopefully we can keep this going. This is something that we've seen a lot of y'all just enjoying just from the beginning of service. And if you haven't seen it yet, go check it out. So yeah, thank y'all.
Thank you. Good morning, y'all. Good morning. Please stand for the reading of the Word of God. I'm going to be in Luke chapter 19 today, verse 1 through 10. That's Luke chapter 19, verse 1 through 10. I'll give y'all a second. All right. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. "Zacchaeus," he said, "quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today." Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus into his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. "He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner," they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, "I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much." Jesus responded, "Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." This is the word of God. You may be seated.
All right. First, I want to thank my wife, Courtney, and the OCBF team for the kind words that were shared, Mr. Ryan, and I'm just so grateful to be here and to be preaching God's word to you young students. Let's get into the word. Let's pray first. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for another day. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, that we would be transformed by the power of your word through your Holy Spirit. Pray for any student who in here that you would open their eyes and help them to see you for who you really are. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. There was a student who graduated and attended college. They accumulated student loan debt, he had to take out loans, and they wound up with almost $60,000 in student loan debt when they graduated college. $60,000, right? Now, after they graduated, they kind of struggled to get a job. And as you know, when you graduate, I think it's about after 6 months, they start sending you those payments because they want to collect their money. They start sending the payments, and because he was struggling with getting a job and having a job where he was able to pay it off, he was in trouble. He couldn't pay. Couldn't repay the student loans that he borrowed from the government. When he was unable to repay the government graciously forgave him, wiped the $60,000 clean, released him from the debt. Raise your hand if you would appreciate that. I sure would. Wiped him clean of that debt. And as a result of receiving that great blessing, this person, years later, after building his finances, started a program to help families and students, young teenagers, prepare financially for college. So after receiving this blessing from the government, it motivated them to help other people, motivated them to help future college students and families prepare to financially be able to afford college. Last week, we talked about how forgiveness by God motivates love for God. And we saw the woman who came and showed Jesus all this love, all the things she did in front of the Pharisee. And Jesus says she is doing this because she has been forgiven. And so the bottom line was that forgiveness by God, it motivates us, it drives us to show love for God, to live for him because he's forgiven us. This week, I want you to see in this story how forgiveness by God motivates love for other people. That when this man Zacchaeus experiences the blessing of salvation, which is the forgiveness of sins, it motivates him to show love and care for other people. This month we're talking about forgiveness, right? And before we talk about vertical forgiveness, forgiving others who have wronged you, we need to properly understand the vertical forgiveness where God forgives us. Because the more you understand this vertical forgiveness, then you will be more willing to do horizontal forgiveness. You tracking with me? I want you to repeat after me. Forgiveness by God, motivates love for others. In Luke chapter 19, we are told about a story about a man, his name is Zacchaeus. Everybody say Zacchaeus. We are told some information about him. Jesus is entering through a city named Jericho, and it says that there was a man by the name of Zacchaeus. We're told first his occupation, that he's not just a tax collector, but a chief tax collector. So he's the CEO of the tax collectors. He was the manager of all the tax collectors in the area. And remember, tax collectors were traitors. They were Jews who were working for the Roman government. And so the Jews, they didn't like tax collectors. They considered them to be traitors of their own kind. So we're told he's a chief tax collector. And then we're told something about his income. We're told that he's rich, so he got deep pockets because he's a chief tax collector. And one of the things that tax collector did is they would collect money, and then they would collect above, they would cheat people, and they would collect above what they were supposed to collect. We're told something about his height as well, that is, he's short. So he's a chief tax collector. He's got deep pockets. He's rich, upper middle class, we would say today maybe. He's wealthy. He's got a lot of money. And then we're told that he's short. And the reason why we're told that he is short is because as Jesus is entering through the city, Zacchaeus is hearing all this noise, this big crowd following him. And Zacchaeus, he can't see because he's so short. And so he devises a plan. He says, you know what? I'm going to go run and get up, climb this tree so I can find out who this Jesus is that everybody fussing about. He can't see. And so he inconveniences himself just to get a look at Jesus when today folk can't even get in their fancy cars to come to church to experience this Jesus that we talk about. There's one more thing that I want to mention about Zacchaeus. His spiritual condition. Because he's got money, but he's lost. Now, how do I know he's lost? Verse 9, and I'll come back to this in a little bit. It says, and Jesus said to him, this is at the end of the story, today salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. So before he encountered Jesus, he was lost. He was unsaved. He was not a Christian yet. But he wanted to find out who this Jesus was. And so he goes, he runs ahead, and he climbs on top of this tree just so he can get a look at Jesus. And Jesus is walking through Jericho, and he sees him up this tree, and he looks and he says, Zacchaeus, come down, for today I must stay at your house. Now, the question is, why does Jesus have to stay at Zacchaeus' house? Interact with me. Why do you think Jesus says, I must stay at Zacchaeus' house? What do you think? Let me get at least two people to answer that. What do you think?
To see what type of man he really is.
To see what type of man he really is. Okay. Anybody else? What do you think?
Because,
go ahead.
Because if Jesus never came to his house, he would never have salvation.
Good. Okay. Everybody's on it. What'd you say?
To fix his spirit.
To fix his spirit. Because as I just said, Zacchaeus is lost. And according to verse 10, It says, for the Son of Man had come to seek and to save the lost. So the reason why Jesus has to go to Zacchaeus' house is because Zacchaeus is lost. And this is Jesus' mission, to come and seek and to save the lost. There is what is called a mission statement. Organizations will have a mission statement that defines their reason, their purpose for being. And side note, you need to have a mission statement. You need to find out why you are here. There's a famous quote that says there are two important days in your life: the day you were born and the day you find out why. You ought to have a mission statement, and that mission statement ought to be tied to the kingdom of God. Chick-fil-A has a mission statement, and it says, to glorify God by being a faithful steward of all that is entrusted to us, to have a positive influence on all who come in contact with Chick-fil-A. My school has a mission statement. The reason why they exist is to glorify God by equipping godly servant leaders for the proclamation of his word and the building up of the body of Christ worldwide. Does anybody know the mission statement of OCBF? Does anybody know? Raise your hand if you know, students. We made a whole song about it. You forgot it?
It was back in the day.
It's back in the day? Okay. What about any kingdom servants? Any kingdom servants know? Raise your hand if you know the mission statement of the church. The kingdom servants should know. Now, students, let's get on them. They should know. Well, let me tell you. Oh, you got it? Somebody got it over here? What is it? Shout it out. Say it. Hey, give her a round of applause. She needs a gift card. You might need to give her a gift card. So the reason why OCB exists is to disciple the church to impact the world. If Jesus had a mission statement, it would be the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. That is his mission. That is the purpose of Jesus, which means you will never understand Jesus until you understand that people are lost. You will never get this Jesus stuff until you understand that we have been separated from God and Jesus came into the world to repair the relationship between humanity and God. And so why does he have to stay at Zacchaeus' house? Because Zacchaeus is lost. Next slide. How does Zacchaeus respond to Jesus? Look at the text, verse 8. Zacchaeus, verse 6, and he hurried and came and received him gladly. And when they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, he has gone to be a guest of a man who is a sinner. Zacchaeus says, behold, Lord, all of my possession I am giving to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone, I'm going to give back four times as much. How does Zacchaeus respond? Well, he first receives Jesus. Zacchaeus responds to Jesus by receiving and welcoming him into his home. There are two responses to Jesus Christ. You either receive Jesus or you reject him. There is no in between. There is a line. And you either on this side, you've received Jesus, or you're on that side, you've rejected him. To be indifferent to Jesus is to reject him. Yeah. In philosophy, we call it theism. It's the belief that you believe, a theist is one who believes that there is a God. And then there's atheism, that those who do not believe that there is a God. And then there's these so-called people called agnostics. Anybody know what an agnostic is? It's someone who says that I don't know which one, so I'm gonna be in the middle, because there's not enough evidence for a God, but there's not enough evidence to disprove God. So you know what? I'm gonna just stand in the middle. According to the Bible, there is no middle ground. You are either with Jesus, you've received him, like Zacchaeus, or you have rejected him. And the question I have for every student in this room is, what has been your response to Jesus? Have you received him, or have you rejected him? Only you can answer that. But as we will see in this text, there's proof that Zacchaeus received Jesus. How do I know that? Verse 8, Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, wait. You know what? Lord, check this out. I'm going to give all my possession to the poor. You have forgiven me. You've brought salvation to me. You know what? I'm going to repent from sin, and I'm going to choose to live a new lifestyle. Now he says, if I have defrauded anyone of anything, if I have cheated. In Greek, that is a first-class conditional statement. It simply means that he has cheated people. In other words, since I've cheated people, since I've done wrong, I am choosing to go in a different direction now. So he receives Jesus, and then he repents from sin. You cannot receive Jesus and not repent from sin. Repentance is simply this, young people. It is making a U-turn. It is a change of mind that starts on the inside, but it manifests itself on the outside. It's like when you, how many of you have your driver's license? Okay, how many of you drive? Okay, why you drive without a license? Got him. Why you raise your hand when I said a driver's license? Y'all be safe. Permits, you got your permit. All right, you better have your permit at least. When you are driving and your GPS is taking you in one direction and it tells you you're going in the wrong direction, you need to turn around. You have to make a choice, an internal choice, that I'm going in the wrong direction. So you first have to recognize that you're going in the wrong direction. Then you have to make a decision to get in the right lane so that you, and then you have to actually make the U-turn to go in the right direction. Repentance is simply becoming aware of your sin and making an internal choice to change the direction of your life. And the question I have for you young people is, have you repented from your sin? Zacchaeus says, I'm changing the way I live because, God, you've been good to me. And notice he calls him Lord. Now in Greek, this is Kyrios. Kyrios is used to refer to God. So to call Jesus Lord is to call him God. Zacchaeus recognizes that this is the divine Son of God in the flesh who has come to me to forgive me for my sin. And because he has come to me, I'm going to receive him, not going to reject him, and I'm going to repent from my sin. Now, the question I have for you, and I want some interaction, is what keeps an individual from responding like Zacchaeus? What do you think?
Society.
Society, okay. What you think?
Culture,
okay. What you think?
Fear of repeating the sin.
Fear of repeating the sin, okay. What you got?
Pride,
okay. Anybody else? What keeps a person from welcoming Jesus Christ, who came to seek and to save the lost? What keeps a young person, let's make it, let's go there. What keeps a young person from repenting from sin? What do you think?
Unbelief or feeling like they're not good enough.
Okay, inadequacy.
Saying that they're too far gone, like they can't go back.
Saying that they're too far gone, okay. Anybody else? Let's do two more. What do you think? fear of rejection, okay?
Not believing you're actually that bad.
Say it again?
Not basically self-righteous.
Self-righteous. It's another good one. What keeps a person from responding like Zacchaeus and receiving Jesus into their life is summed up in one word, idolatry. Tony Evans defines idolatry as any person, place, or thing, or thought that we look to as our source. It is anything that competes with God himself. Anything. Today we have what Pastor Evans calls American idols. People look to their horoscope to find their identity. Your identity is not in the stars. The stars were created for a purpose, and that was to give light. They weren't created to give you identity. That's one idol. Another idol is these rappers and these superstars. And another one, which is relevant to this text, is money. Money, you know, I used to run track, right? And we used to ride the bus, and there would be this one guy, he would always come up with these weird hypothetical questions. Like, bro, for $1 million, would you do this? And it'd be some inappropriate stuff. Do y'all, raise your hand if you have friends who do that. Oh my goodness, man. It's like, bro, why would you, I'm not answering that. It'd be some nasty stuff. I'm like, bro, why would you even think of that? He would say this and he would be like, hey, would you do this? Or would you allow this to be done to you or whatever for this amount of money? And you'd be surprised at people. They'll be like, yeah. And I'm like, bro, you would do that for that much money? Because apparently money can make us do things, unfortunately, that God can't make us do. Because money has become a god. And if I said I had $100 for some student, for all the students who came and lifted up their hands, how many students would run up here? But when the worship team and the dance team is singing praises to God and trying to invite us to worship the God who created us, we stand back with our arms folded. But if Beyonce or somebody came in here, we'd be going crazy because Beyonce has become a god. That rapper has become a god. That rapper you listen to over and over and over, who's dictating how you behave, how you treat young women, how you think about young women. You objectifying women because of who you listen to. And so that person has you in a chokehold because they have become your god. What keeps a person from coming to Jesus? It is idolatry. Everybody worships something or someone. You are a worshiper, whether you know it or not. The question is, who or what do you worship? Yeah. Only you can answer that. Do you worship your parents? Do you worship the culture? Do you worship your skin color? Because you're not technically a black Christian. You're a Christian first. And you allow your Christianity to define your blackness. So that whenever black culture goes against what God says, you're going with God. That's right. And not black culture. Yeah. Or any other culture or any other race. You're not just a white Christian. You're a Christian who is white. You ought to love the color of your skin, but you ought to never treat it as your God. Now, Isaac, I'm following you. That sounds good, but where'd you get that in the text? Ah, there's an important phrase that is said by Zacchaeus. He says, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. Ah. A similar conversation happens in the previous chapter. Let's go to Luke 18, verses 18. This is why, young people, you need your Bible. Okay? I need you to buy a personal Bible for yourself. And our vision is for us to see students coming here holding their word that they use Monday through Saturday and coming here taking notes because they're going to meditate throughout the word and pray to God to help them apply it throughout the week. Okay? So I want to encourage you, get a Bible. It's a good investment for you. Luke 18, verse 18. A rich young ruler questioned Jesus, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? I want to get into the kingdom." And Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God." AKA, you don't realize what you're really saying. If you call me good, you're calling me God. "You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother." And he said, "All these things I have kept since I was an OCBF Next Gen youth. Ever since I was in Awana, I've done this and that." When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "Here it is. One thing you still lack." He's about to attack that God. He's about to attack that idolatry. He says, "One thing you still lack, sell all you possess and distribute it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." He says, now raise your hand if you would sell all that you possess. It, hypothetically speaking, if Jesus were to appear here and to tell you, say, and ask everybody in this room, "Sell all your possessions and give it to the poor, and come, follow me." Don't raise your hand. Don't let me know. But how many of you would legitimately do that? How many of us would really do that? Don't raise your hand, because you won't know until that time actually comes. It's easy to say what you would and wouldn't do when you're not in the situation. How do I know that this is his God? Verse 23, "But when he heard these things, he became very sad." He said, "Well, I got to sell all of my possessions? I got to give that all away?" He heard these things and he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. Money was his God, which tells me that attachment to money kept him from Jesus. Attachment to his God kept him from following Jesus. Attachment to his idol kept him from following Jesus, who came to seek and to save the lost. And Jesus looked at him and he said, "How hard is it for the wealthy to enter into the kingdom of God? For it will be easier for a camel to fit through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom." Why? Because rich people trust in their own possessions. Money is their God. But Luke 16 says, you cannot serve God and money, because you either hate the one or love the other. You can't, there cannot be two gods on the throne of your heart. As one thing Pastor Evan said, is that there's one of the things God will not do is he will not be second. There's this vacuum in your heart. And the question is, who is filling it? Who is on the throne of your heart, or what is on the throne of your heart? This past Wednesday, I said, you're not here to chase a bag. If you're going to chase anything, you need to chase God. You're not here just to make money. You graduates, when you graduate, you ought not to think, "Oh, which career is going to make me the most money?" That's not why we're here. We're here to impact the lives of other people. You ought to choose a career that's going to help people flourish, whatever that is. You want to be a policeman, a firefighter, a nurse, whatever it is, a psychiatrist, a therapist. You ought to choose a career that's going to help people flourish, because ministry is not just limited to inside the church. You are a minister outside the church as well. Let me read to you Ezekiel chapter 14. And let's see what God says about idolatry. Probably the number one sin from which all others flow. Ezekiel chapter 14. I just want to read this and then we'll go to some takeaways. And we'll try to tie all of this in together. Ezekiel 14 verse 1 says, "Then some elders of Israel came to me," this is Ezekiel speaking, "and sat down before me, and the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts." See, an idol is not something you just create outside of you. It's something that you set up in your heart. "And have put right before their faces the stumbling block of their iniquity. Should I be consulted by them at all?" In other words, they had come to God with their idols. And God says, no, don't come to me with your idols, because I will not be second. And the reason why God sends Israel to exile, Judah into exile, is because of idolatry. Idolatry invites the judgment of God. It invites the righteous judgment of God. Where there is idols, there will be judgment from God. Because he will not put up with idols. He says, "Therefore speak to them and tell them, thus says the Lord God, any man of the house of Israel who sets up an idol in his heart, puts right before his face the stumbling block of his iniquity, and then comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will be brought to give him an answer in the matter in the view of the multitude of his idols, in order to lay hold of the hearts of the house of Israel who are estranged or separated from me through all their idols." See, what has separated you from God is your idols. And the only way to come back and to receive Jesus and to be reconciled to God is by laying your idols down. Because you cannot have both. Jesus is entering through the city of Jericho. And this man by the name of Zacchaeus, who's short, inconveniences himself just to see who Jesus is. And Zacchaeus, He looks up at Zacchaeus. He says, "Today, come down. I must stay at your house because I came to seek and to save the lost." And Zacchaeus, "You are lost." And Zacchaeus responds by receiving Jesus. And then he repents from sin. He says, "Lord, I am giving half my possessions to the poor. Because you have forgiven me, I'm motivated to show my love for other people. If I've cheated anybody, I'm going to pay them back. If I've wronged anybody," because this vertical relationship with God ought to affect your horizontal relationship. And when God forgives you, it ought to affect the way you treat your siblings. When you experience salvation, it ought to affect the way you treat your classmates. It ought to affect the way you treat your teammates, your teachers, your coaches. Because this relationship is tied to this relationship. And you know somebody has a relationship with God by how they treat other people. Too many people today claim they love God and then hate the neighbor. That ought not be so. And Jesus said, "Today salvation has sure enough come to this house, because he has proven to be a child of Abraham." Let's look at some takeaways and we'll get into some discussion questions. Number one, an individual must recognize their lostness. You will never get this Jesus thing, I'm gonna keep saying it, until you recognize that humanity is lost and separated from God. And Jesus came to restore, to reconcile the world back to God, and to reconcile not just the world, but you individually. But if you don't think you're lost, if you're like the self-righteous Pharisees who think that you're a good person and that you don't need God, you'll never see your need for Jesus. If you don't think you're sick, you'll never go to the doctor. If you just deny, I'm good, I'm healthy, I'm a healthy young man, you'll never see your need for the doctor. An individual must recognize their lostness. Secondly, an individual must receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Not merely as Savior, but as Lord. Okay? Jesus says in Luke chapter 6, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say?" Yeah. Why you claim you're a Christian and you don't do what Jesus say? You say you believe in Jesus, but you don't do what he say. He's not Lord in your life. Someone else or something else is. Whatever is dictating your actions is your master. And for some of us, it's music. For some of us, it's money. An individual must receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Thirdly, an individual must repent from sin and idolatry. Repentance is making a change of direction. You are changing your lifestyle. Zacchaeus says, I'm receiving this forgiveness. Now I'm about to change my lifestyle. Because God has forgiven me. I'm choosing to go in a different direction. And lastly, an individual must respond with love for others. When you receive forgiveness from God, that'll affect the way you treat other people. And we see in this story, as Zacchaeus, after he experiences salvation, he says, I'm going to do stuff for the poor. And if I cheated anybody, which I have, I'm going to pay them back four times more. Because forgiveness by God motivates love for others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this story that has been written for us to learn from. Jesus said, I come to seek and to save the lost. And so I pray for any student in here who for the first time is understanding that they are lost, that something is missing, and that's you in their life. Now, God, I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, for that student who now for the first time understands that they are lost without God, Lord, we pray that your Spirit would open their eyes and open their hearts so that they may receive and welcome Jesus, who comes to graciously forgive sinners. May they repent from their sin, not just today, but may they be a lifestyle of continually turning from sin and idolatry. And I pray, Lord, that every one of us, because we've been forgiven by God, because God has been so good to us, that we will show love for other people like Zacchaeus did. That we will be more willing to use what you have given us, our possessions, and steward them well to help other people flourish. If that's you today, and for the first time you've recognized that you're lost and you want to receive Jesus today, I'm going to count to three. I want you to raise your hand. One, two, three. Got one back there. One more time. If you recognize for the first time that you're lost, that you are a sinner, well, there's a Savior. That's the hope we have. That Jesus came to save. He died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins so that we may have eternal life. One, two, three. Raise your hand. If there's any of you who needs prayer, maybe you have idolatry in your life. You don't worship the true God, you worship false gods. You live for the approval of your parents instead of the approval of God. You live for the approval of your friends instead of the approval of Jesus Christ. Maybe there's idolatry in your life, there's sin in your life that you need to turn from. Repentance is a lifestyle, not a one-time event. Today's a good day to decide that, you know what, Lord, because you've been so good to me, I want to change the direction of my, I want to change my lifestyle. If that's you today, you want prayer, you need guidance for how you should do that, you're struggling with a certain sin and you're trying to figure out how do I get out of this stronghold of suicide, of depression, of pornography, of sexual sin, or whatever it is, we want to pray for you. I'm going to count to three. I want you to raise your hand. One, two, three. One back there. You first have to recognize. There's another one. You You first have to recognize that there's sin in your life, and you decide to repent from it. Thank you, Father, for those who have made a decision to commit their life, to rededicate their life, and to choose to repent from sin. Lord, may you bless them. May your spirit empower their obedience. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Well, hello, and thank you for tuning in to our Next Level Youth online services. My name is Isaac Shepherd. You can find more youth content on our Facebook and Instagram at Next Level Youth W3. Also, don't forget to tune in to Dr. Tony Evans every Sunday at 11 a.m. on our OCBF Church, Facebook, and YouTube. Thank you, and God bless you.